The U.S. economy is highly dependent on skilled immigrant workers, but the rules in place right now require employers to fill out forms showing they're eligible to hire foreign workers each and every time they bring a non-citizen onto the payroll. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has just started a new pilot project to see about reducing that paperwork burden. The Known Employer pilot lets employers show their eligibility once a year instead of every time they sponsor an immigrant visa. James McCammont is the Deputy Associate Director for Service Center Operations at USCIS. He talked about the pilot with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
USCIS and DHS created the Known Employer pilot for us to assess the effectiveness of a more streamlined but still secure process for employers that are seeking to hire certain types or classifications of workers. And that pilot's based on using a document library, which allows the employers to upload documents in support of certain eligibility requirements. And the overall goals of the program, as we set this out, or the pilot rather, is to save both employers and USCIS time and money while maintaining our adjudication and security standards by overall, we hope, reducing the amount of paperwork filed by with USCIS. At the same time, our hope is that what we've set forth in this pilot, which will last for 1 year from the date we begin to allow employers to come in, it will help us promote a more consolidated decision-making process on certain types of employment-based applications and hopefully ensure even greater consistency. You mentioned one of the benefits or sort of drivers of this is we also do hope to further streamline and reduce our follow-up correspondence and requests for further information once the petitions or applications for these types of workers are filed.
What are the sorts of things an employer has to show in order to demonstrate they're eligible, either in the current process or under the Known Employer pilot?
So if I may, I'll share with you first what the different types of classifications that are being used in this pilot.
Please.
Currently. So the different types of foreign worker classifications include the following types of workers. First, multinational executives or managers. Secondly, outstanding professors or researchers. Third, intra-company transferees in either a managerial or executive capacity, or such intra-company transferees in a position that involves what we call specialized knowledge. Also, specialty occupation workers and NAFTA professionals. So those are the classifications that are included in our pilot. So what do they need to file? Well, currently, the employers will file a separate petition for each individual foreign worker. At the same time, on each of those individual petitions or applications, they also have to demonstrate the employer's eligibility to hire these workers under our requirements. What the Known Employer pilot changes, and what we hope will change more broadly if the pilot is successful, is that the employer will now file a separate individual application with us to demonstrate their basically eligibility to hire the workers in these types of categories. Once USCIS approves their eligibility, they will no longer have to explain or justify their eligibility on each individual application they file for each worker, right? So our hope is by doing that, we know the employer, thus the name of the pilot, and therefore we do not have to require them to basically re-explain their eligibility to hire these workers on each individual application. They will still file the individual application, but they no longer have to include that additional, if you will, what could be viewed as redundant information if the pilot is successful.
But still, I would imagine that you would want to, on some continuing basis, go back and reevaluate the employers with some kind of periodicity.
We would. That is correct. And actually, each year, we would require, if under the pilot and also under the program, if it became more successful. At the same time, if there is a change in circumstances such that that company would no longer be eligible during that 1 year, they are required to notify us proactively that some of their circumstances have changed.
Got it. And are there, you know, particular industries or types of employers that you think would benefit most? And I don't know if you would categorize that by volume of foreign workers that they use or some difference in complexity in the current process from industry to industry?
Sure. So as I mentioned, the classifications that I mentioned, the different types of workers, that sets out the broad scope of the industry.
Right.
The way we actually selected the participants for the pilots, I think, is instructive for the whole program. We selected them based on the fiscal year 14 filing data by the petitioner, by the employers, for these different classifications. And we certainly were looking for a good group that represented different industries and locations to try to represent the broad range of employers that we serve. So that was for the pilot, of course. We actually do have currently five employers out of a total of 9 slots that we had made available who have signed up for the program so far. And I'd be happy to share with you the names of those companies. They're public as well.
Yeah, please do. I'd be interested in hearing those and the sorts of industries they represent.
Sure. So the 5 that are currently participating, with a couple of more that may or may not, Citigroup Incorporated, Ernst & Young, Kiewit Corporation, Schaeffler Group USA, and Siemens Corporation.
And are workers from essentially any country eligible, or does the host nation have any impact on whether this process applies or would apply if it's rolled out into a formal program?
We do not put limits in the United States, of course, on the home nation for those workers. That said, I certainly can't speak to if, for example, there was a country or there were requirements from that specific country as to why they could not participate or be hired by that company. I do know we don't ourselves put sort of any, broad limits. That said, it could be, for example, without any political commentary or assessment on this, that, Iran, Iraq previously, or, Cuba, for example, there may be some restrictions that have to do foreign policy-wise that aren't within our control per se, but do have to do with something with that home nation. I would like to also mention, if you don't mind, I could just tell you how we did when we selected those pilot participants. I did want to make sure also to note, after we had selected those companies based upon the data, we did also conduct a thorough vetting of each business, which did include verifying their enrollment and participation in our E-Verify program.
In what way, if any, does this kind of share common features with the trusted traveler programs that you already have, global entry, et cetera? I mean, are you able to leverage common processes and common infrastructure, or are these completely apples and oranges?
So, great point from the philosophy side, but the trusted traveler is, of course, conducted by Customs and Border Protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's separated from this program. From a philosophical side, for the known employer, we are looking to help consolidate and streamline, but maintain a still very secure process. But it is for the hiring, and obviously CBP is for the entry. So I'd defer that point to CBP. But
fair enough. I guess one of the main questions is, what do you hope to learn from the pilot? I mean, what questions are you trying to answer before potentially rolling out a formal program?
Sure. And I think the number one is really to prove that this pilot process does work. So the idea of having the employers assess their eligibility on a regular basis to let us know that and for us to review and hopefully be able to streamline. If that works well, we anticipate that it will have very positive effects both for obviously the pilot participants, and we would also look to further expand the program and also the idea that by consolidating their eligibility application, we also hope to reduce the amount of questions and further information we ask. And as you may know, when folks apply with us, they look at their eligibility requirements, be they employers or employees, and they file. And then we oftentimes will have questions, further follow-up questions for them. And our hope is by implementing this type of process, we will be able to reduce and streamline those communications for the good of both sides, USCIS and our customers and constituents.
And just to follow up on the government/taxpayer side, I mean, any speculation so far on how much cost savings this might actually end up yielding if you're able to get rid of as much paperwork and manual processes as you're hoping to?
So we do not have an assessment on that. I will mention USCIS stewards those dollars very carefully for not only from the public trust side, but we are actually a fully fee-funded agency with very tiny exceptions to that. So We are constantly monitoring our cost effectiveness, but I don't have a dollar amount. And of course, as you can imagine, at the start of a pilot would not be the time that we would be able to make any projections on that. But we hope to know at the end that it's proven to be efficient on all fronts.
James McCammont, the Deputy Associate Director for Service Center Operations at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.